Thank you, choir, for that wonderful singing. So with our scripture reading is in our mind at this time, I would like to direct your attention to the selected verses or passages in the book of Genesis chapter 3 verse 15 for our food, for our spiritual life this morning, for our exposition. In Genesis chapter 3 verse 15, and Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14, Galatians 4:4, and then Luke chapter 2 verse 11. We're going to discuss these verses or passages as we continue on in our study this morning about Christology, because we all know that this is now the season of Christmas, December. We are talking about the birth of Jesus Christ. And so the title of my message this morning is, according to your bulletin, Jesus' Messianic Prophecy and Fulfillment. Now, as December sets in and think about the season of Christmas, we can't afford to go on without, you know, thinking, who do we celebrate? It is just easy to lose focus in the midst of hassle and bustle of season. It is just easy to forget who we are celebrating when the world is bursting with twinkling stars, with the beautiful decorations and mind occupied with gift. Billions of dollars, including yours and mine, are being spent every Christmas season. Now, according to the survey, people of Canada plan to spend $1,800 for this Christmas. $1,800 for this year. This is a huge spending. Well, there's nothing wrong with money being spent for the gift, or delightful Christmas movies being shown to lighten our saddened heart. You know, there's Home Alone. What else? What movies? Christmas movies to entertain us. Or attractive decorations being displayed to lighten our saddened heart. But you know, but if these things are the only ones that makes you happy and gives joy and meaning, you know what? You miss the blessedness point of Christmas. You miss the significant point of Christmas. I tell you, after these activities cool down, after the hassle and bustle slowly fades away, after everyone gradually went to their own and left alone in your own closet, you would feel the immense emptiness, loneliness, and hopelessness because you mess up or because you miss the real meaning of Christmas. And so, brethren in the Lord, it is the objective of the message this morning to present to you the true meaning and reason of Christmas. The true reason of Christmas is the coming and birth of not just the Messiah, or not just a baby, but rather the coming and birth of the Messiah. The coming and birth of the Savior. The coming and birth of course, God became human. That is Jesus Christ. And to some people, this true meaning of Christmas is very offensive to them. But we as Christians, we must stick to the true meaning of Christmas. That is the coming, the birth of the Messiah, the Savior, Jesus Christ. That is why I titled my message this morning, Jesus, Messianic Prophecy and Fulfillment. To lay down the truths that we have to go back far from the very beginning of the Bible. That is the Old Testament, specifically in the book of Genesis 3:15. We can touch also the book of Isaiah 7:14. But for now, for our first point, let us focus our attention in the book of Genesis chapter 3, verse 14, where we can find the first truth, Jesus' messianic prophecy in the Old Testament. The verse says, and I'd like us to just fix our eyes in this passage, in this verse, in Genesis 3:15, if you have the Bible, it says, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Now, in this verse, we can see the first biblical glimpse of God's plan of redemption. We must note that this proclamation is a direct result after what? After the fall of Adam and Eve, when they willfully, willingly committed direct sin to God when they eat the apple. Is it apple? No, just says there that the fruit, the knowledge of good and evil. That time, God knew that man must be redeemed from the bondage and penalty of sin. But the big question is this, but how? How would God accomplish this redemption story? Well, the verse that we have read a while ago, it gives a solution. Here is the prophetic redemptive plan of God. He said, "And I will put enmity between you," that is Satan, "and woman, and between your seed and her seed, he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Now, I would like to divide this verse into phrases so that we can gain more understanding and better explain it. You know, when you do the Bible study, sometimes you have to find the meaning of this word individually, and sometimes you have to divide the phrases. So right now, I tend to divide this verse into phrases. First phrase is that God said, "And I will put enmity." And I will put enmity. So what does it mean when God said, "I will put," or "I have to put enmity"? So this means that it means that God himself, he said, "And me. It is a personal, very personal discussion with this person, Satan, addressed to Satan. And I, God Himself is the author of setting up what? Enmity. And what is enmity? Now, according to the Studiaris Bible Dictionary, enmity means active or inactive mutual hatred or hostility. In this instance, between Satan and the woman, or in between two parties. Please bear in mind that God is absolutely holy and righteous God. Just not to miss the interpretation here. God is holy and righteous God who hates sin. And that God can't and will not ignore or overlook sin committed against Him. God cannot say, okay lang yan, or that's fine. As time goes by, the wound will heal. No. God cannot ignore or overlook sin committed against Him. And sin must be punished, stopped, and sin must be destroyed. In short, sin must be dealt with because God is holy. That is why Christians must hate sin too. Yes, God is love. That is His inner character or attribute, for God so loved the world. 1 John, for this is love, talks about love. But behind this, in all of this, because God is love, we must hate sin. That is why He set a definite boundary between righteous and unrighteousness. And that boundary from God's part is hostility to sin, or hatred to sin. We must understand hostility of God in this context, to avoid misrepresentation or misunderstanding here at this moment. Not just only the first part of phrase, but secondly, the second phrase that I want to discuss to you before I drop the bomb, it says, between you and woman. Between you and woman. The word "you" here refers to Satan, of course, because this is addressed to Satan, who worked behind the success of snake in tempting Eve and Adam. And woman here may refer to Eve. Well, according to the surrounding text, it refers to Eve, or woman here refers to humanity in general. Some said that woman here refers to church, but I tend to believe that this woman here refers to humanity in general, or in humankind in general. If it is interesting to note that Matthew Henry commented on Satan-Eve relationship or communication while they were there inside the Garden of Eden. He said, and I quote, "The serpent and the woman had just now been very familiar and friendly in discourse about the forbidden fruit. And a wonderful agreement there was between them. But here they are right now irreconcilably set at variance." They have the big difference now at this moment. And he added the note, "Sinful friendships justly ends in mortal feuds. Those who unite in wickedness will not unite long." You can see that around the world. Those who unite in wickedness to do wrong, one of these days, they will fight each other. And so, brothers and sisters, God authored a dispute between Satan and woman. Not just there is a hostility between Satan and the woman, but also the verse said, and between your seed and her seed. Mind you, the word seed here refers to offspring of both Satan's and seed of woman's, of a woman. Now, don't you know that there are satanic churches in the United States and Canada right now? Well, thousands of satanic churches around the world that faithfully prayed for the destruction or the fall of pastors, church leaders, or the destruction of the church. They continue to influence men in pursuit of increasing evil, those who are the offspring of Satan. But Satan and its allies will be defeated completely by God through the offspring of this woman, the seed of this woman. Yes, there is an enmity between the good and evil, but ultimately, God will bring everything under his feet, including the seed of Satan. That's what the fourth phrase assured to us. Because the fourth phrase says, he shall bruise your head. He refers to the seed of a woman. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Now, to interpret this passage, I would like to start from the last phrase there that says, and you shall bruise his heel. In other words, Satan shall struck or crush the heel of the seed of the woman, which is, I believe, is Jesus Christ. This is the redemptive plan of God, that the heel of the seed of a woman shall be struck and be crushed. This is what Isaiah chapter 53 says, that he was wounded for our transgressions. But because he was wounded, we are healed. Yes, there is an enmity between good and evil, but ultimately, God will bring everything under his feet. This is the Old Testament's picture of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, where his heel was nailed to the cross once and for all for the payment and penalty of our sin. And dying there on the cross, Jesus crushed the head of Satan, which means God became a victor at this point. Genesis 3:15 shadows the birth, the suffering, the death of Jesus Christ. In another verse that connected to this messianic prophecy of Jesus is found also in the book of Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. If we open our Bible in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, this is also connected to Genesis 3:15. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14 says, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Here, a virgin woman shall conceive a seed, which is the Son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And this Son is the seed of a woman whom we are talking to in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. It will become more obvious if we come to the New Testament. In Matthew 1:23, it says, "Behold, the virgin shall be with a child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated, "God with us." Genesis proclaim it. Isaiah proclaim it. Matthew announce it. That's why we can say right now, in the midst of the hustle and bustle of the season, that yes, the Messiah has come. The Messiah has come. Yes, hallelujah, the Savior was born. We don't need to look for another Messiah, because it was fulfilled by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to show you a video clip from the YouTube regarding the people who proclaim himself the Messiah, the Savior. Are you looking for the Messiah? I am he who stand before you. Are you looking for the Savior? I am he who stand before you. Now, the video, there's only 7 minutes. There's full version there, but I just want to ask our audio man to play the short one, the 7 minutes video, in connection with our study this morning.
The matter of faith, the heaven man, Moses, who called about a new Messiah, who commands the Romans to them, including one of the Pharisees and those who have amassed a fake process, members of the Romans. For people who gave what little they had to the man, they believe it's the second coming of Jesus. Or they dream of that.
turned it against us and say, oh, Pastor Kimber is an unbrother. Pastor is an unbrother. And then the media pick it up, you know, because it's sensationalized. Especially when it comes to my name. They sensationalize it. And I said, I can't care less about that. Because if I had any violations of the law, you can hang me in court. I have my liberty. I have my rights.
By the way, if happen that you are approached by some other beautiful ladies who are asking for donations, ask them what is the name of their charity organization. If they say that it is Children's Joy Foundation, that is one of the ministry of Kibuloy. That they, one of their resources of their funding is asking donations, and they send it to the Philippines for their ministry. But you know, as I study this passage, reflecting the passages that I read, therefore, I conclude that there is only one Savior. There is only one Messiah, that is Jesus. Yeah, that is Jesus. The name is Jesus, not Apollo, not the cup, not the other else. It's only Jesus who was prophesied by God after the fall. And here in the New Testament, we can see the fulfillment. Galatians 4:4 stated, "But when the fullness of time has come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born out of flesh," or under the law. And it was confirmed also in Luke 2:11, as the angel announces, "For there is born to you this day, the city of David, a Savior." And who is this Savior? Who is Christ the Lord? Furthermore, in Matthew 1:21-22, it says, "And she will bring forth a son." Now, with the background that still in our mind, we have to think Genesis 3:15. Matthew 1:21-22 says, "And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus," still, "Jesus Christ, for he will save his people from their sin." And so verse 22 or 23, it says, "So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord way past. So it was said, so it shall be done, brethren, in the Lord." It came to pass what God has prophesied, and that no one and nothing can hinder the plan of God, even the hostile or the very hostile plan of Satan or pagans, or the very hostile plan of religious people. What they have been doing actually against Jesus paved the way to accomplish God's plan of redemption. Now, listen again to what Matthew Henry commentary said here. He commented on this aspect. He said, "Satan tempted Christ in the wilderness to draw him into sin. And some think that it was Satan that terrified Christ in his agony, to drive him to despair. It was the devil who put into the heart of Judas to betray Jesus, of Peter to deny him, of the chief priest to prosecute him, of the false witnesses to accuse him, and to Pilate to condemn him, aiming all of these by destroying the Savior, or to ruin the plan of salvation. But on the contrary," he said, "it was by death that Christ destroyed him who holds the power of death." It was by death of Jesus Christ he defeated Satan. He defeated Satan. Yes, Jesus are still waiting for the Messiah to come to rescue them. Some people proclaim themselves as Messiah, as what we have seen here a while ago. That man also said, you know, the New Jerusalem will come in his on his mountain there at Tamayung, Davao City. The New Jerusalem is there. But of course, we all know that is not right. Many people do not believe in Jesus as their Messiah, as their Savior. But you know, if I'm going to take it personally, for me, my Savior is Jesus. My Messiah is Jesus. How about you? Who is your Messiah? Who is your Jesus? Who is your Jesus? You cannot stand in between or undecided. You must make a decision and choice right now that you have to make Jesus a Savior and Lord of your life. In conclusion, Christmas is not just about a cute baby born in a manger more than 2,000 years ago. Christmas is a birth of Jesus, the Savior Messiah, who was prophesied by God Himself after the fall, based on Genesis 3:15. And now in our application, Jesus is a Savior who came to save sinners like you and me. This Christmas season, the most beautiful gift that you can ever receive or you can give to yourself is who? Jesus. 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 Because when you have everything of this world, but without Jesus, you are completely unhappy, depressed, and lost. But when you have Jesus, you have joy, you have peace, you have happiness, you have hope, you have forgiveness, you have everlasting life in heaven. That is why it is very, very important to settle down your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, a Savior, a sure Messiah. Without Him, you're just I-A-N. You are nothing. You are nothing. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, O Lord, your word was preached, and that we would like to elevate Jesus Christ as the center of the attraction of this season, of this Christmas. We would like to put Jesus Christ in the pedestal and put the title on the name Messiah, Savior of all the world. Lord, it is my prayer at this time that if there is anyone here right now who have not received Jesus Christ as his or her Savior of life, it is my prayer that you will touch him or her right now. Make him realize that he is nothing without you. If you are the one whom God took him to right now, please settle down yourself by giving your trust and your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive Him. Accept Him. Make a decision right now to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior of your life. May you pray this prayer sincerely within your heart, alone, between you and God alone. You may say, Lord, I now realize that Jesus Christ came to this world to be my Savior and Lord of my life. He was born, He suffered, and died on the cross to pay the penalty of my sins. And now, I would like to trust Him as my Lord and Savior of my life, so that I will never, never be alone of this life, so that I will have everlasting life in heaven. For this is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we would like to thank you and praise you for the decision maybe that was made a while ago. It is my prayer that you're going to help this person grow in the likeness of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.